call the September 14th Meetings and Ways Meet to Order. Can you hear me? There we go. Okay. All right, resolutions. Resolution 238, adopting revised Ulster County Fund Balance Policy as presented before you. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion, second. Legislator Archer, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 239, replenishing tax stabilization reserve fund of Ulster County. Good motion.
So moved.
Legislator Archer, second. Bartels, discussion? Legislator Archer?
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody is aware that we have checked with the CMA, our budget, as well as Drescher and Malecki, our auditors, and ARP money will not be able to be used to replenish this, and so I think it's important we replenish what was taken with an excess of $11 million.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? One, two opposed. I'm in favor.
I know what you're right.
We're on 239, tax stabilization fund. Okay, let's do this again. Resolution 239, all those in favor, raise your hand.
I don't know what it is, but I am.
It's the refunding the tax stabilization fund.
Oh, I'm a no.
All right, so four yes. Looks like three no. Four no. Sorry. Four no.
Four to three.
All right. Four. Four to four.
Where's four?
Seven.
Parity. Yeah. Dave, legislator Parity, Hines. And
John.
Mary Beth.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. All right. Resolution 39 fails. 377, removing position of communication specialist. Got a motion? Motion. Walter, second. Bartels. Discussion? Legislator Walter.
Yeah, thanks. This came up because of, and I want to say that I'm really glad this came up at this point. This position came up during budget time. And we try to discuss it, but it's hard because there's a lot of things we're discussing during budget time, and it was complex and it was challenging because there was a person sitting in that position, and so it felt like we didn't want it to be a personal attack on anybody. But it was a lot of concerns because it felt like a person was moved into from one position to another position and then given a salary increase. There were three other positions like this, and it felt very, very uncomfortable. It felt very sneaky. It felt sneaky. I'm not saying it was. I'm saying it felt that way. I also want to say that historically, I've had a big issue with what felt like bloat on an administrative level. I fought against my school board when they put a lot of administrators in. And I'm talking here. And fought against that. I fought at SUNY when they had high salaries for people on the top level. I'm very uncomfortable with a lot of bloat on the upper level, and especially when the really important jobs are happening among the people at the bottom. And I'm going to stand by that. I will always stand by wanting to be very thoughtful about how much money we're putting into an administration, to an upper level, when the jobs down at the bottom are being cut all the time. That said, in this particular situation, we offered the executive's office the opportunity to explain to us why this position is important, and said that if you can make that compelling argument, we will hear you. I will say that in that time, I have heard many arguments about the relevance of this position and the relevance of this salary. I have to say, it still makes me uncomfortable. It still puts me at dis-ease. But I want to give the benefit of the doubt to the executive's office in that this is what they feel is important at this point. And so I'm not going to support this resolution that I put forward.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay. Well, seeing none, I'll just say that the myself, you know, I'm not in favor of removing the position, but I do feel it is overfunded. I think the amount. Last night, I did a quick search as we were talking at caucus, and even in New York City, the average salary for a similar position with the same title was $57,000 and change. And that's New York City, which usually has higher prices. There was, you know, I know I've heard that Poughkeepsie is in the same ballpark as we are. Again, that was nothing was taken into account whether or not that includes longevity or any other comps to it. So it's hard to know what that position really is as a comparison. But I'm just not happy about the price. Legislator Bartel.
Thank you. I totally support the position staying, but I have a similar level of discomfort with the salary of the position. You know, I did not support the increase in the salary at budget time. That was it was a position that did not prevail, but I believe it didn't prevail by one. And that was in part because there, as Legislator Walker just said, there was a person in the position, so it's very hard to talk about a significant, what would have been a significant cut to that position with a person in the position, which is why we find ourselves in this moment with the position currently vacant, and we're not technically having a salary discussion, we're having a discussion about whether or not to remove the position, which I don't support, but I do have to say, to be on the record, that I'm not comfortable with this salary. So headed into a budget cycle, if that's the place where we're going to have the discussion, I just want to be on record saying I'm really not comfortable with the salary. We were today provided with comps, all of which are significantly lower than the current salary, closer to the original salary. And again, this was a position that was essentially created outside of the budget cycle. So it put the legislature in a difficult position in terms of setting a salary and a salary range with a person in that position. So if the place that we have that discussion is the budget cycle, I'm on record and I'm consistent with my previous view that this salary is too high for this position.
Any other discussion?
Thank you. So I've had conversations with the county executive. You know, I have not been convinced that this position is vital to county government. I understand that a lot of other people have. You know, I do recognize that I've said several times that, you know, and this is something that both deputy county executives have brought up, that I've mentioned a couple of times, I think that these conversations should be happening during the budget. I respect that, and I do agree with that. I co-sponsored this resolution because there being nobody in the position right now, it seems like a good time to do so, as Legislator Bartels and Walter have, I think, both mentioned. I don't have a problem with having this conversation again during the budget and talking about the necessity of this position. To make the assertion that there is no communication staff in the executive's office that can handle these responsibilities, I don't agree with whatsoever. You know, and while I do agree that the executive can manage his staff in any appropriate way he wants to, it doesn't mean that we have to give him unlimited staff with which to do that. And we, as the appropriating body, have that that decision to make coming forward in the 2022 budget process. It's entirely possible that I put an amendment in to remove this position again when there's somebody in it, which was why I had had the conversation I had with the executive, encouraging him not to fill the position while we have the conversation. But that having been said, I've got no qualms about putting a resolution in to eliminate the position once there's somebody in it, because I believe that the executive and his office have been put on record that, you know, absent a due explanation about why this position is vital to county government, I'm likely to put in a budget amendment. But, you know, as Legislator Walter said, even though I'm sponsoring the resolution, you know, given the fact that, you know, I should be consistent, even though my reasons for bringing this up now were, I thought, pure in that I'd rather have the conversation. When it's not filled, you know, I have no problem having it when it's filled. So I'll be having this conversation again come budget time.
Senator Archer?
I want to go on record as well, as we're heading into a budget cycle, that I support having the position, but I do not support the position at the current salary that's proposed. So if there's a decision to hire someone between now and the budget cycle, and the fact that we've had prior conversations, I have no problems at this juncture, even though I had in the past, when somebody was in the job, not wanting to take someone's salary away, I will have no problem this go around taking the salary away, because that is, we've been all been very clear on this. There's been no compromise on it, and it's unfortunate, but you know, when the budget cycle comes around, I will definitely have an opinion about the salary of this position.
I've got something to say after the resolution.
Okay. Anybody else? And I will just echo again, I'm on the same as you both are. I would prefer to do this during the budget cycle, but this is a position that is currently vacant. That was the reason why we are not following suit with what we normally practice. But as was just said, normally I would hate to reduce or eliminate the salary of a person who's already in a position, but unfortunately it looks like that's the hand that's being forced here. So when it comes to budget time, for this one position, I will go on record saying I will be looking to reduce the salary for that position. Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor? All those opposed? Motion passed. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm a little discouraged, and I just feel like I need to voice my discouragement. I got here about 4 minutes late, and that's partially because I got stuck at the back door. And to come in after having the first two resolutions, which I've been the main opponent of for the last, 8 months, I'm a little discouraged by that we didn't wait 5 minutes, but.
Well, let's say wrong. You were here, you came in and left. So we did start, you were here, and then you walked out and left, so.
Four minutes, Mr. Chairman. I will tell you right now, if that's gonna be your statement, I will remember that, and I'll remember that for each and every one of you.
You didn't ask us to wait for you, and you were here. You physically came in this room, and then you walked back out. He walked in.
It's fine. I wasn't here for either of them. I walked into the legislative office and I came back in maybe 45 seconds later, and both resolutions
so
have been done.
If I may, we purposely postponed it because you weren't here last week. So, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, because I did want you to be on record. I knew you had a position on this. As it related to 238?
It's fine. I eagerly await the opportunity when somebody from your side of the aisle is late.
I'm just saying, we postponed it last week, Ken, so that you would be here.
It's fine.
Senator
Bartels? It's a joke. Whatever.
Senator Bartels?
Well, given that Legislator Rump's here now, can we reopen the discussion? Is that
absolutely
allowable?
Okay. Well, reopen discussion.
I'm not gonna bother. I'm just gonna, you know, for the clerks, I'll lodge my vote as a no on both of them, and I'll just leave it at that.
I'm more than happy to have whatever it is, and we
That's
can
fine.
Reconsider and we can have the discussion.
No.
I didn't know that you were here. I didn't know that whether or not you were coming.
Okay.
I know that Chair Gavars likes to start on time.
Well, I mean, you know, that's one person's opinion. The other person's opinion is I didn't care enough to be in the room, so it's fine. It's perfectly fine.
I'm happy to reconsider you.
Well, I think we should talk about 239 since it's going to change the vote of the resolution.
No. 239 failed.
Both of them passed, whether I'm here or not.
No, they failed.
Defeated.
It was defeated.
I'm sorry. Neither one matters whether I was here or not. So I could be back in Chatham.
Okay. 392, approving execution of contract for $600,000 for REPCO. Good motion. Legislator Archer, second. Bartels, discussion?
I think we were satisfied with the understanding and the language, which was what held it up last week, and so I have no problem.
You're good to go. Okay. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 397, authorizing roof rehabilitation of Golden Hill and restorative justice. Can I have a motion? Second. Second.
Awesome.
Okay, Haynes, sorry. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 401, authorizing slope stabilization of Salem Road. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second. Mark Ellis, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. That. 404, authorizing chair legislature to execute an early voting expansion grant program. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second. Chair Donaldson. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 405, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement near State Board of Elections for a technology innovation grant.
Okay.
Second.
Second,
Archer. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 429, establishing a hotline to provide support. There was supporting. Second. Archer. Okay. That's it, Bart Walter.
Thanks. So, Legislator Haynes had some questions, which I did my best to answer, but I felt I was not necessarily the best person to answer the questions. So I have asked the Commissioner of Human Rights to speak to, from what I understand, and if there's more, please let me know. One is to really understand how much of a need, and two, how capable is the Human Rights Commission, like, knowledgeable on making those kinds of referrals. Is that about it? So, Tyrone, can I ask you to respond to those two and anything else?
Sure, thank you. One of the things with the hotline, I just want to bring forth that our department, in the beginning of January, we formed a coalition, as you would say, with all of law enforcement agencies, which was consisted of Chief Titi from the City of Kingston, our Sheriff Ron Figueroa, and Captain Mario, who is now the new captain of the state troopers. And this was all in response about, you know, when we started out, it was about how do we help the relationships between the community and law enforcement. That's what it was targeted for. Not knowing moving forward, when we started getting into the talks about the hotlines, all through the times that we met, I should say that we met in the parks, we met at churches, we met at the Boys and Girls Club, and this was just to bring all areas to where community people have access to come and speak. So we spent at least 6 months of the whole year process just going out to the community and giving them a voice and hearing what they was feeling. Majority of the community, as law enforcement heard right along with myself, was that they didn't know who to go to, right, when they had situations. A lot of community members was afraid of retaliation from law enforcement and other entities that, you know, that they had issues with. You know, talking to Legislator Walker and with Juan Figueroa and the, you know, law enforcement, we have, you know, we built such a great relationship now where I think that, you know, we have an understanding that it's not just about, you know, going after an officer or going after, you know, anybody. We want to make sure that we are able to have a decent resolution, right? And it's not just about, okay, you did wrong and, you know, smacking your hand. It's not about that, right? It's about accountability and also constantly learning and keeping the training moving forward on how we deal as, you know, as a public officials or and how we deal with our communities, you know, at hand. But also with the Human Rights Department, it's very important that we are able to reach out, you know, to all of Ulster County. We have we have two personnel in my department right now, and this two personnel is who are responsible to making sure we reach out to all of Ulster County. And sometimes a lot of individuals don't know how to get to us. And we, you know, and with COVID, you know, one of the plans that we wanted to do, you know, prior to COVID, is that we had this tour that we wanted to just go around Ulster County and meeting everybody and setting up, you know, a way that they can really get in contact with us. They know how to get in contact with us. So when we had the discussion about the hotline, I just love it. You know, I think that it's an easy way, and it helps the confidentiality of it. We heard about a lot of fear of people wanting to even talk about what they're going through, and I think the hotline helps that. You know, I think that, you know, they're not out there; they don't have to be exposed. They have the confidentiality that they need to have the issues addressed. And I think with the alliances between the human rights and law enforcement, I think that I have established a relationship where if a law enforcement, you know, personnel had a situation that's in claim, I have the relationship to go directly to the heads. And we have agreed to about, you know, us being a part as much as we could be in their system of how to be, you know, how to bring the resolution, you know, together. And we talked about using circles, you know, believe it or not, you know, using the circle strategy to bring the law enforcement and the community member if they needed that, you know, to be a part of that whole resolution. So this is about changing the whole look about when you hear human rights, it's not about somebody always did something bad, right? It's always, we're trying to change that. We're trying to just become a part of the solution and really be the middle person and really try to bring it together where everybody can, you know, walk away satisfied and at peace with it. So the hotline helps us reach out further, and it also helps with the confidentiality of it.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Ms. Hirock?
Go ahead,
Kurt.
Okay.
You go ahead first.
Okay. So I understand the concept of law.
Can you use your mic, please? Hands. I'm sorry. We have a hard time hearing you.
So I understand and can respect the idea. I think it's a great idea, right? We have this hotline that they call in, but are you feeling overwhelmed? Whereas what I thought that the Human Rights Division was feeling overwhelmed by the amount of calls or callers coming in, and they needed basically somebody to handle these calls. And once we're promoting call here for help, then how do we then facilitate? will he be able to handle those calls coming in?
Well, and again, this did come with a position, but I've made the commitment to the criminal justice, to law enforcement public safety, that all positions we would wait for budget time. So the request was put that it is in the budget for the position to handle this. And, you know, usually new implementations are a little slow to get started. So, you know, as soon as those billboards got to get created, you know, assuming this passes, the radio ads have to be done and the billboards, you know, by the time it gets to a level of higher capacity, ideally we'll have approved a position that will help handle those excess calls.
So is it safe to say, or am I assuming, or if you would shed some light on this, are you currently receiving a high volume of members of the communities coming to you with these issues? Would that be something that you would say from your perception since you've been out in the community?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, one, for me being a person who's in the community, it kind of shed a light to the comfortability of people, you know, feeling comfortable to call, right? We get a lot of calls in the office, and they vary. You know, it's just, you know, we just adapted to housing, right? So now housing is a big part of what we deal with. But I think that, you know, with the person to be able to manage, you know, the phone lines, because I spend a lot of time out going to cases. So if I'm out of the office, there's calls coming in that needs to be handled, and I am so high on response time. So that's another thing about me too. Like I try to be really good with response time when we do get the calls. But I think this person will help a big time, you know, with the comfortability of us going out to a lot of these cases and actually, you know, talking to the individuals, and the calls are still coming in.
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate you taking the time to come and explain that to the body. Thank you.
Ms. Hirock.
Thank you. I
think that the idea of a phone number to be able to call and leave a message with, you know, that will, I'm sure, will be returned either by Tyrone or by one of the person that's going to be hired. I've always known the word hotline to mean that somebody is going to be answering the phone when you call. Typically, it's called a tip line if you're going to have an answering machine take messages. The term hotline implies that it's going to be continuously operated. It's something I've dealt with here in the legislature. It's something I've seen dealt with on the state level. When it's a hotline, it is hot. Somebody is on the other end of that phone to answer it. The suicide hotline is an example of that. Domestic violence hotlines are an example of that. This sounds to me like it's going to be more of a tip line, and I feel like we should characterize it as such, personally.
Legislator Bartels.
Just for clarification, isn't the idea to actually get coverage on the hotline once we hire a person during the budget cycle?
So, you know, it was an intention to be 24 hours, and, you know, it's a bit of semantics. In my perspective, a hotline is one that is readily available for people, and if you leave a message, there's going to be a return call. I mean, most people would, in this kind of situation, because it's generally not necessarily in the middle of the night, like a suicide hotline, where it could be any time, to need to report this kind of thing, a person can reasonably wait till the working hours. I would not ask someone suicidal to wait for working hours to make their phone call. I would not ask a domestic violence victim to wait till working hours. But I think someone who feels that they've been mistreated can reasonably wait for working hours. I'm concerned about the word tip line because tip line belittles it too far. Tip line is you just anonymously state something and you there's no follow-up, there's no referral, there's no process of what you do next. If there were another word between the two that felt more comfortable, tip line does not feel okay because tip line really just feels like, hey, by the way, I'm going to just tell you this. I'm not going to tell you who I am, and just so you know. I don't think that would not serve this. But again, I think if we specify that it's a non-24-hour hotline, that we won't have to worry about any kind of confusion in that area. More importantly is that within a short amount of time and within reasonable time. And I, you know, it doesn't have to be assumed that it's 24 hours.
Commissioner Bartels.
Thank you. So, I mean, this hotline is going to be dedicated solely for this purpose and advertised as such, and that's what the initial financial impact is for, right, the advertising. So, I mean, I think it's, I just want to begin by saying I'm totally supportive, and I actually love the idea that you get a little lead time before putting in the position, because you'll start to get a sense of how, you know, how aggressive and how heavy the need is. And that's something I'm sure that will evolve over time, and certainly the first year someone in a position will get a sense of. So I'm very supportive of this.
Commissioner Rock.
Again, I'm not supportive of it, but I would like the time to be able to work out proper vernacular for it personally. I'm open to a postponement, but if it comes forward tonight with this, I don't believe that this is a hotline. We can call it a hotline, but you can call anything anything. I mean, words aren't just words, they've got meanings. So, you know, I'm definitely open to postponing, but if it comes forward tonight, I'm voting no.
So can I just throw in a suggestion that I was just looking it up, because I actually do agree with Legislator Ronk that, you know, so the scenarios that you gave, while valid, that's true, they would not be considered emergencies, but consider this scenario, a family member just had somebody arrested, they feel that they've been mistreated during the arrest, and now they're being hauled off to jail, and I hate to be so blunt about it, but that happens in the middle of the night. Who are they going to call? They feel like this is a hotline. What I did look up is this in the call, they call them helpline. That might be maybe a better name for it that doesn't imply full 24/7 coverage. But
I propose an amendment to this where it is called a helpline.
Okay.
I didn't like tip, but I like help.
I'll second that amendment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any discussion on that?
Thank you.
You want to discuss on that, or?
I do.
Okay.
I actually, you know, I Googled the same thing, and I was going to make the exact same suggestion. I think, as a result of Legislator Ronk's concerns, I actually think it's a better name.
I'm
happy with that.
Better
name all around.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding your concerns about HOT, but the idea of a line that can help people who have been wronged and saying that, so
that there's
I'm very happy that,
All right, any more discussion on helpline? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so carried. All right, any more discussion on? Yes.
When I saw these resolutions linked, I agree to the fact that there is, if we're going to have this hotline, we need to have the position.
Helpline.
I understand what helpline. Legislator Bartels had to say about the run-up, but I would feel much more comfortable as. And this is the first I'm hearing of it. This is not a request that came through our budget through the Human Rights Commission. I know this came through the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force. I would feel comfortable knowing that this position at least passed in the budget before creating a hotline that potentially adds many, many calls, or a helpline, a helpline that will add many, many calls and not necessarily be answered if we don't get the position in the budget. So just tying the two together, I think, makes sense. I think we're supportive of this. I'm just concerned that this passes now, the position doesn't get funded, and then we have a helpline.
Chair Nelson.
Well, we don't actually know how much this is going to affect the office and how many more calls. I mean, we probably need to, track the calls that we are getting now, so we have an idea, start doing that, and then track the calls once the new thing happens, and then we may see. You may need a position, you may not. I mean, you may be able to handle it with staff you have, or we may be able to use someone else, during certain times. I really don't know. So I don't think it necessarily means we're going to add a position. We may have hit a half position, we may not. I mean, I think the helpline, which I just applied to Google the same thing, but I didn't get to the resolution yet. You guys were faster with your phones than I am. So I think we should, move on and let Tyrone can, start tracking those things so we know what the numbers are, and we, know if that really is needed or not.
Yeah.
Peter Rock.
Thank you. I'd like to echo the comments that Chairman Donaldson just made about, not knowing what the call load is going to be until you do it. I'm committed, personally to funding a position at some sort of hours in order to, make sure that we can adequately respond to the phone calls and with our Human Rights Commissioner to do the casework on and follow up with the Human Rights Commission. But we just withdrew a resolution to eliminate a communications position during the pandemic. There was a lot of helping here, helping there. I don't see why the communications specialist can't help field calls in the meantime, personally. I mean, that's, even the person who's, I believe, likely to be taking the communications position is currently doing a job that the legislature didn't pass in the budget because it's been reclassified. So again, I think with all the maneuvering, I think that's a great solution right there.
Sherry Walker.
Yeah, I will echo that. I think I definitely agree that this gives us an opportunity. Rollout does take time. I also just want to point out that currently the position is only a halftime position. It may very well be we may find that we are advocating to make it a full-time position if we get enough evidence from the Human Rights Commission by that time that it actually has to be full-time. But I think this serendipitously worked out very well that we made the decision in our committee to postpone the position.
Legislator Bartels, and then we'll get you.
Yeah, and I just want to say and be on record that I will be supporting the position as the evidence shows that it's needed. And certainly, I can't imagine the legislature shirking its duty to put a position behind it. If the Human Rights Commission is getting so many calls that it needs to be full-time, that's what we're going to have to discuss. So we'll see that as it ramps up and as we get
Yeah, I just want to just reiterate too that this is something, if started, is actually giving community members the opportunity to start, because it's there. The concerns are there, the fear is there. It's just, how do we help them get it out? You know, how do we help them feel comfortable with calling, you know, because all through the year of meeting with the community, that's all we heard. And it's like they have nowhere to put it. And that's kind of, you know, where what I want to share with you all is that, you know, to me is actually giving them somewhere to put it. And whether it's with the human rights or whether it's with communication, I just want to leave here letting you all know that we do need to have something for people to have the resources to be comfortable with being able to express what's going on.
Thank you. All right, any other discussion? All right, on the resolution as amended, can I have a motion? I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. All right, late resolution 432, amending the 21 budget for public emergency preparedness. Can I have a motion? A second. So, Walter. Discussion? All those in favor?
No, I'd like to ask a question by Mr. Chairman. This is money coming from the state
to the
schools through the health department for testing.
Is it state or federal?
This is money coming from the federal government through the state to the county for testing in the school. So we will be providing contractors to do screening testing at each of the school districts. This money, some of the districts will use in-house nurses, and in that case, we will provide them tests. But
the reason I bring it up is it was an issue of last night. Will this money only be used for testing kids who are residents of Ulster County, or will they be using it, let's say, in some of the neighboring schools who the kids may live over the border?
Well, I mean, school district, so I'm assuming it's the district wide.
I'm a yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Who cares?
All right. Any discussion other than that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. Any other new business? Marsh, you have anything? No. All right. Motion to adjourn? Second. All those in favor of adjournment? So carried. Thank you.
We had new business after our Gallagher's.
No, she said she doesn't have anything.
Oh, okay.
I looked over. I asked her. All right, thank you.
Thank you. 5:38.